Okay, today let's discuss, as much as we can at least, the Malacha of Borer, which came up on Daf Ayin Dalid in this week's Daf. One of the more important, I mean all the Malachas are important, but one of the more common and crucial Malachas to understand, the Mishnah Berurah even writes about it in Hilchos Shabbos, in his Hakdamah to Hilchos Shabbos, in source number one. We'll try to do Borer in two parts. Today we'll try to get down all of the Yesodos, and next time we'll try to do a lot of, some of the Lamaisa cases will come up today, but we'll also continue with that next time. But at least let's see if we could fit it into two shiurim. Again, all the marmakomos here are here in front of you. So feel free to read inside a lot of what we say outside. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah writes in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos that there are a couple of malachas that are very common. It's just that people aren't aware of them, and people could love Shabbos and read Sifrei Musar about Shabbos and really want to keep Shabbos, but if we don't know the halakhas of Shabbos, so then it's going to be a problem. Matsui ma'od lehi kashel mipnei chesron yedia. So says the Mishnah Berurah, we have to really focus on this malacha. And it's one of the malachas, interestingly, that you could almost always do what you want to do. Most malachas you can't. Most malachas are, it's also, if I want to cook something on Shabbos that's not cooked, I can't cook it. If I want to clean my shirt, I got a stain on it, I can clean it. Most things I want to do, I can't. But Borer is an example where almost always, not always, but almost always, if you want to do something, there's a way to do it in a mutter way. You want to put a game back. You want to set the table. You want to you just got to know how to do it. That's why Borer is such a crucial malacha, because it's something that comes up all the time. And also, I might add, it's a very scary malacha, because Borer, much of Borer are Isurei D'oraisa. D'oraisa. Most malachas that we do on Shabbos unintentionally, it's probably violating D'rabbanans. We're not really plowing or threshing or any of those other malachas. Sometimes it can happen. But the Borer is an example where it can happen. So I want us to make sure that one learns these halachas. Again, we're not going to focus on, you see the Baal Amor, the Bir Halacha in source 2 and 3. We discussed that in the Daf. We're not going to focus on that now. We're going to try to focus on Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha Lamaisa, elements of Borer. There are four categories that we're going to go into. We're going to try to do the first three today. We'll see how far we get. And that is, number one, the definition, rules and regulations of the malacha. What is a borer situation? Number two, how do you do borer in a mutter way? How do you separate in a mutter way? Number three, how do you undo a borer situation? And then category four will be all of the halacha lemaisa applications and ramifications. Good. So what is the definition of borer? Borer is any separating or sorting of a mixture or combination. Any type of mixing, of sorting or removing or separating of any type of mixture. Taking out something that you don't want. That is borer. Rule number one, it only applies where there is a mixture. There has to be a mixture. If it's not a mixture, it's not a borer situation. If I have a pen and two pencils on the table, and I see them each clearly, there's no borer there, because they're not mixed up. It's not a borer situation. It's only where there is a ta'aroves, a mixture, then it is borer. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. In source number four, Shnei Minei Ochlim Me'uravim, two foods that are mixed together. That's a borer situation. And again, we're going to give many examples along the way and repeat them over and over again, but the case of silverware. If I want to set the table Friday night for Shabbos morning, and I have a bunch of silverware all mixed together, that's a borer situation. We're not talking about how you do it, how you don't do it. First, we're just defining the situation. If I only have a fork and a knife and a spoon, they're scattered on the table, and I see each of them clearly, that is not a borer situation. That's not a mixture. Step one is, it needs to be a mixture. If somebody has a couple of shirts hanging in the closet, that is not a borer situation. If somebody's closet is so packed and they could barely get any of their clothing out, they have to like take their shoulder and move, so that could be a borer situation, right? If somebody has a coat or two on the couch, that's not a borer situation. If somebody goes to a Shalom Zachar and there's 35 coats on the couch and you're looking for your coat, so we're not saying what's mutter and usser, but that is a borer situation because there's a mixture there. There's a lot of items all mixed together. Right? So that is rule number one. Borer only applies if there is a if there is a mixture, right? There's different ways of items to be mixed. If you look at Rabbi Rubiat in source number 5 and 6 and 7, he says they could be, there are different ways to be mixed in. You could have, you know, peanuts and raisins in a bowl. You could have jelly beans in a bowl, and you don't like the black jelly beans, so that's mixed in together. They could be connected to each other. Like, I was asked recently by seeds on challah. Right? Seeds on challah. If somebody doesn't want the seeds on the challah. If somebody has, something connected. There's hair in soup. I got to take the hair out of the soup. If there is a burnt section of whatever I'm eating that I want to cut off. Right? There's a different way of being connected. That's connected to each other. That's also a borer situation. What about seeds in a cantaloupe, in a watermelon? There's different. There's seeds in the sack in the middle, and there's seeds in the interspersed. But all of these are borer situations. Bones in a fish. Right? Why is it that there's something called the gefilte fish? Because of Hilchos Borer. That's why, because people realize that it's too difficult to eat fish, you know, with all the bones, and what do you do? So that's why we have boneless fish. That's why we have seedless watermelon. People don't like the seeds. But it's also for halacha, it works out beautifully. But all of these, this is all different types of examples of a mixture. Again, boer requires a mixture, and that is number one. Rule number two. A mixture, this is connected, but it's a separate point. You have to have at least two types. It's not a mixture if it's all the same thing. If I only have black jelly beans in my bowl, but some of them are fatter than the other ones, so I like the fat ones. I want to take out the, that's not a mixture, because they're all the same type. If they're all the same type of item, a lot of them, so then that is not a situation of boer. This is what the Ramah says explicitly back in source number 4. In Shin Yud Tes, the Siman Shulchan Aruch and Boer is Shin Yud Tes. Says the Ramah in that Siman, Aval Kol Shehu Min Echad, Af Alpi Sheboer Chatichos Gedolos Mitok Tanos. If it's all one type, there are big and small chocolate chip cookies on the plate. I'm going to put away the big ones because I want to save them because I'm having an oneg the next day. That's not borer. Because it's all the same type. Lo mikri brera. It's not a borer. Vafilo shtemin in my different size doesn't make it borer. So therefore, that's rule number two. A mixture requires at least two types. So there are some times that it's hard to pin down whether something is one type or two types. So if everything's the same thing, fine. But what about a number of examples that the poskim give. The Rav Moshe writes in source number 8, in Chelek Dalet Ayin Dalet, that's the tshuva he wrote to Rabbi Eider, where he writes, Yesh Boer Bivagadim. What about if you have different colored socks? Let's say somebody goes, they have a separate drawer for their socks, for their weekday socks and for their Shabbos socks. And they open up their weekday sock drawer and they see, Oifei, there's a dark pair of socks in the white socks drawer. So, and if somebody can't deal, let's say somebody, I don't know, is from German descent, then they can't deal with having that pair of socks in the wrong drawer. They feel the need that they have to move it. So it's all socks. The answer is no, it's not all socks. That's a mixture. Because one white, one's dark. It's different functions. And therefore, that could be a borer situation in that regard. That's what Moshe says. Two different types of socks. Shabbos and weekday clothes. The Shmir Shabbos discusses. If I have special clothing that I wear, if that's mixed into the weekday clothing, again, in a tight mixture, not just hanging loosely in a closet. If it's tightly connected, that is a borer situation. Or the Shmir Shabbos quotes, very interestingly, and it comes up, Pesach night, what do? We have a couple of matzahs. So we open up the box of matzahs, and we say, okay, where are the broken ones? Where are the whole ones? We want to put all of the whole ones in one, because, remember, this box is the whole matzahs. If you want to take extra matzah, don't take it from this box. So what do we start doing at the Seder on Pesach night? We start taking out the whole matzahs, right, and putting them into one box. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, says the Shmir Shabbos, that it's a borer situation. You can't take out what you don't want. That's a borer situation, because again, broken matzahs and whole matzahs are different quality of item, and therefore that could be called a borer situation. Rav Rubiat even notes in source number 10 that even though the Ramah says that size doesn't make a difference, big and small, meaning what if there are big pieces and small pieces? That's not a mixture. But if big and small affect the quality than it is a mixture. For example, tablespoons, soup spoons, and dessert spoons. That's a mixture if they're all mixed together. Tablespoons and teaspoons. That's a mixture because those sizes reflect different functions. So Boware is rule number two. It requires two different types. Rule number three in Boware. There must always be something that you want and something that you don't want. What you want is called the ochel. What you don't want is called the psoles. And it's purely subjective. Purely subjective. What your ochel might be my psoles. I hate black jelly beans. You might love black jelly beans. So if I take the black jelly beans out, so that's borer. So this is a daraisa. If you take out the other jelly beans because you don't want them, Boer, everything, one's an ocha, one's a psolas. Tosfos says this explicitly there in Shabbos Ayin Dalet, that even if it's objectively both food, they're both good. But what I want is ochel, and what I don't want is called psolas. Number three. Fourth rule. Again, keeping in mind. Number one is that there has to be a mixture. Number two, two different types. Number three, there has to be an ochel and a psolas. Number four, Boer applies to non-food items as well. Non-food items. This is agreed upon, right? 99% of the poskim quote this. There is an Ar Sameach in Source 15 where Meir Simcha suggests maybe not, but we assume that Boer applies to food items and to non-food items. It applies to silverware. It applies to books. It applies to clothing. Whatever the situation is, it could be a Boer situation even without non-food items. That is clause number four. Clause number five. And this one is hard to pin down, but you have to look in the poskim to see how they describe it. The Rav Ribiyat discusses this in, it's one of his topics that he likes to discuss in Source 17. Some cases look like Boer, but it's not Boer. For example, washing dishes. If I wash dishes on Shabbos, I'm using cold water, I'm using the right sponge. A lot of things you have to worry about when you wash dishes on Shabbos. I'm not preparing for you after Shabbos. So why isn't that Boer? I'm separating the chalent from my plate. Why isn't that Boer? Right, other items where that are connected and mixed together is Boer. So why, when I wash the chalent off my plate, why isn't that Boer? Or we're going to talk about washing dirt off of a fruit. Why isn't that Boer? Nobody's going to say that's Boer. Says Rav Ribiyat, because that act, and again, Rav Ribiyat summarized it, but it's the Achronim that say it earlier, that act is not defined as, you're not separating the chalent from the plate. You're washing your dishes. That's what that is called. That's not separating. So that's one of the svaras Rav Moshe says also, but that's what Rav Ribiyat says. Sometimes you have to look at how people describe the act that is being done. It's not called boer, taking a bug off of a gnat off of my clothing. That might be called libun, but that's not called boer. Lint, taking lint off of my clothing. So that's discussed in the sugyas of malabein, of cleaning, but not boer. Why not? Because that's called cleaning your shirt. That's called washing the dishes. That's not called boer. So again, this is hard to pin down. You have to just look in the poskim to figure out exactly what the malacha is called. Good. That's number five. Two more. Next rule and regulation. There is no boer if the item is really fine without the boer. And I'm just doing the boer for, super reasons. What does that mean? The Shulchan Aruch talks about this case. The Shulchan Aruch says, what if there's wine that I want to drink? And I would drink the wine. But you know what? There's a couple of things floating in the wine. I don't really care about it. I would drink it anyway. But I'm going to put a little garment on top of the wine to bimisanein it, to filter it out. And then I'll drink it. So am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? Similar example. Could I have a filter on my sink, on my faucet on Shabbos, because I'm worried about bugs, the cocoa pods, right? 10 years ago, whenever it was, 15 years ago, right? Am I allowed to use a water filter on Shabbos? So the Yesod is, and the Chazon Ish writes this, that it depends. It's source number 20. It's based on the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yutes in source number 19. If you would drink it anyway without the Maisa of Reira, then you're not really doing anything. And therefore it's mutter. And it's not called boer. If I would drink the water even without the filter, so then it's fine. I'm allowed to use the filter because I don't really need it. but if I would not touch this water, I think it's a halachic problem. Or I wouldn't drink this stuff because I don't like stuff floating in it. If I wouldn't touch it without the filter, so then that would be a borer problem. So again, that is an important issue relating to the water. It comes up, right? That's what the Arch HaShabbos also discusses in source 21 regarding the water filters. Finally, the last yesod to mention in this first section, again, the seven yesodos. And it is interesting that I was just discussing it here, but Rav Avadya in source 22 discusses borer is only by tangible items. What does that mean? I mean, it's somewhat of a humorous tshuva, but it's not humorous, but it's really discussed. The Rav Avadya Yosef quotes some achronim that discuss his tshuva is, can you do birchas ilanos on Shabbos? That's the first tshuva, or the first two tshuvas in Chavad Das, talk about Berachas Ilanos. So you're allowed to do Berachas Ilanos on Shabbos. I mean, the bracha that we say once a year on the blossoms, so go out on Shabbos and make the bracha. Am I worried you might come to rip off a fruit, rip off a flower? So he ends up saying it's mutter. But then he says, maybe, he quotes some achronim, may alpi kabbalah, maybe you shouldn't be able to do the bracha on Shabbos. Why? Because every time you make a bracha, you are separating the spiritual sparks in every physical item, and you're bringing them up. What's called, you're being malev the nitzotzos hakedusha. And therefore, you shouldn't be able to do it on Shabbos because of borer. You're separating those spiritual sparks. Rav Avadya quotes this and says, come on! You're telling me that that's borer? He says, if that's true, you shouldn't be able to ever make a bracha on Shabbos on food. Right? You shouldn't be able to say a motzi. Because every time I say a motzi, I'm bringing up the nitzotzos hakedusha. Says Rav Avadya, that's not the borer that was in the Mishkan. That's not the borer that's usher. He writes it. He writes it in Yechaveh Das, in Source 22, Chelik Aleph Simin Beis, is the second shuva. He says, there's no borer by Ruchnius. Right? Or you're allowed to be borer by Ruchnius, but there's no malacha borer by Ruchnius. Okay, that is all part one. Right, the malacha borer, different rules and regulations. Moving right along. Category two, next point to talk about. So how do I do the malacha of borer, share it, right, how do I do the malacha of borer in a mutter way? How am I allowed to do borer? What we've described so far is just, is it a borer situation, is it not? But how could I do it? So this is the famous three conditions that one needs, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Daled, the three conditions of Ayil, Ochel, Yad, and La'alter. Ochel, you have to take the good from the bad. Yad, you have to use your hand. You cannot use a separating instrument. And La'alter means it must be for immediate usage, for immediate consumption. Those three. If I'm missing any one of these, it's a problem. I need all three. It's not like one or the other. You need all three. So let's talk about each one of these. And this is where the Mishnah Berurah summarizes this in his Hakdama to Simin Shin Yutes. He says, if I do it in this way, if I take the good from the bad with my hand for immediate consumption, then that's not called borer. That's called derech achila. That's called derech tashmish. So you're using it. You're taking something. Borer is when you're taking something with a separating instrument or bad from the good or not for immediate consumption. Okay, but you need all three. Let's talk about each one. Talk about each one. So first, biyad. You have to use your hand to separate. If you use a kli, it is a problem. A sifter, a sieve, a colander that we put the noodles in, any of those would be a problem. So what about silverware? Well, you can't use a fork on Shabbos. We all have to eat with our hands. So Rav Moshe writes in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Chav Dalet, it's source number 4. He writes this already in 1952, Tavshin Yud Beis. Rav Moshe says, well, it depends. If you're using your fork or your spoon just because you don't want your hands to get dirty, you're using it because that's proper etiquette. You're not using it because you separate better, but you're using it because that's what how people eat. That's not borer. Then that's considered an extension of your hand. Not a problem. I don't have to stab the piece of chicken. I don't have to take it with my hand. I can use a fork. That's not called a separating instrument. That's using a fork. That is an extension of my hand. I just don't want to get my hands dirty. So that's why, says Rav Moshe, silverware is fine as long as it's not being used for separating. But let's say, says the Mishnah Berurah, if I'm skimming fat off of soup using a spoon, I'm going to serve my chicken soup, but I want to skim the fat off, so that is using the spoon as a separating instrument. So that would be a problem, right? So that it depends how you're using it. One, what about a peeler? What about a peeler? So this is a major machlokas. Major machlokas. Many achronim assume it's a problem. Rav Shechter assumes it's a problem in the Ayel Meshulash. And most of the Borer books you find, they would most say that it is a kli miyuchal leborer. It separates, and therefore it would be a problem. Other poskim, though, b'shem Rav Moshe, the Rav Moshe Ephraim quotes it, but others in some of the books they quote b'shem Rav Moshe, and Rabbi Mordechai Willig poskins this way, and the Rav Ephraim Greenblatt poskins this way, that they think a peeler is okay, it's mutter to use. Either because it's not borer what's being done, it's dush, which is not for now, or a peeler is viewed, this is what the Sha'ar Misyon Balacha says, as a super knife. All it is a super knife, right? It's a blade on it. So it's nothing more than a knife. That's not a separating instrument. So therefore, that's not called a kli. Add to this the fact that most of the time when you peel, you also take off some good with the bad. You're not just getting off the peel with the peeler. Let's say you peel a carrot or peel whatever else you're going to peel on Shabbos, a cucumber, usually taking off some good also. That's another reason why it would be okay. But again, this is a major machlokas, and one should ask their local authority what they paskim. But either way, this is I gave you the Rivos Ephraim in source number 7, where he matters Sharam Siyana Balach in source number 6, he matters. These are the Chidushim. Every other sefer that you find out there would probably be machmer regarding a peeler, but there are, one should be aware, a number of poskim that are makel. So we spoke about silverware, we spoke about peelers. What about a pot cover? What about I want to put the soup away in the fridge, but I don't want to put all the stuff in the soup away with it. I want to have the stuff somewhere, so I might want to put the pot cover on and drain. Or, let's give you another question. Tuna fish, every step of the way is a question. Number one, you take out the tuna fish can from your cabinet. How do you open the can? That's question number one. Is you making a hole in the bottom of it first? Okay, next. Then what do? So on a weekday, we hold the cover of the tuna fish can on, we hold it down, and then we drain out the liquid. Is that borer? Because you're using a cover as a separator. So the answer is, the Shulchan Aruch says, and Rav Moshe writes this, yes, it is called a kli. A kli borer. One is not allowed to do it, but it's only not allowed to be done when you're separating. What does that mean? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if I have a big soup and I have the pot cover on, and the water, the soup is gushing out, so that means I'm still draining out the soup that was on top of the vegetables and on top of the chicken yet. Only once it starts trickling out, I have to stop. Because now I'm getting to the liquid that's intermixed in the food. With the tuna, right? The liquid that's sitting on top of the tuna, that's not a mixture. You can drain that off. But once you drain the top of it off, so then the rest of it would be a problem of borer. And therefore one cannot use, one should rather just take out the tuna and leave the liquid in, as we will see. Good. Next, last point last 2 points in this first section of Yad. We're talking about Biyad, right? Biyad, peelers, silverware, pot covers. What about a slotted spoon? So Lachar, if you're using a slotted spoon because of its slotted spoon nature, that's explicit. That's a kli borer. If you happen to be using a slotted spoon because that's the one that you found, then it's okay. That it's mutter. And this is Shabura Paskin's Beferish, it's based on the Shulchan Aruch, that borer requires kavana livrar. If you don't have any kavana livrar, then it would be okay. One final point, and this is a chumrah quoted in the Shmira Shabbos, in source, where are we? Source number 14. He quoted from Shlomo Zalman, what about if you have a kli borer, but it is always used for immediate consumption? The only issue with borer is that many times a kli borer, you use the kli in order to save it. But what if you have a kli borer that's always used for immediate consumption? For example, says Shlomo Zalman, a tea bag. A tea bag. I put the tea bag in, and then when I take the tea bag out, what happens? The liquid that's in the tea bag goes out. It's like a sieve. The tea leaves stay in the bag, and the water drains out. Is that a kli borer that I have to be worried about? So some say yes, and therefore, when you take your tea bag out, you should not take it out by the string. You should put your spoon under the tea bag and take out some liquid in the tea bag too, so nothing separates, as we'll talk about, Jim, a little bit later. But Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests maybe that's not called a kli. because it's always for immediate consumption. A kli, by definition, is bor for later. It can be used for bor for later, but a tea bag is always used for immediate consumption, and therefore maybe it is not called a kli. Good. That is all biyad. Next of the three conditions. Ochal mitoch psolus. You always have to take the good from the bad. What you want now, you need to take. What you don't want now, you're not allowed to take. Says the Bir Halacha, source 15. What happens by a piece of chicken? I want to eat the chicken, but I don't want the skin. Is there any issue with removing the skin? What happens if I want an orange, and I want to peel the orange? Is that removing the bad? So the Bir Halacha says, and this is what we paskin, anytime you have to remove an outer layer in order to get to what's underneath, that's not borer. That's just removing the top. The case I gave before with all the coats on the couch by Yishalom Zachar. Taking off the top ones, that's not borer. You're removing what's on top. You're not separating. You're removing on top to get to what's underneath. So that's why by removing a piece of a skin from chicken, removing a peel, any of that would be mut. That's not borer. That's not called bad from the good. That's called just removing what's on top in order to get to what's underneath. Moving stuff around to get to the bottom of the chalon because I want more potatoes. That is not called boer. Good. The Shmira Shabbos also says, and this is a great example of, you just got to know and think what you're doing. What if I got soup and I got somebody give me zucchini. I don't want the zucchini. So what do I do? So if I don't know Hilcha Shabbos, I just take the zucchini out and put it on my plate. I violated Borer. What's the other option you could do? Eat the rest of the soup and leave the zucchini in and leave it over. Okay, fine. But what if I don't want the zucchini in my soup? So what do I do? How do I get it out? So nothing against zucchini. Zucchini is fine and wonderful. Right? But how do you get it out? So one way to do it is also to ask someone, anybody here like zucchini? Anybody want this? If I make my psoles into somebody else's ochel, so then it's fine. I can't like put it on my spoon, take it out. Who wants? Because then at the moment that I did it, it was my psoles. Before I take it out of my soup, I have to say who wants. And then what I could do is take it out. Once I know I'm giving it to so-and-so, I could take it out and give it to the other person at the table because that's ochel mitoch psoles, because it's his ochel. Even though I'm doing it for psoles purposes, still, it is mutter. Related to this as well, it's clear in the poskim, the Rambam says this, not only separating bad from good is a problem, but also just sorting. Sorting for later is a problem. After somebody plays a game on Shabbos, sorting the different color pieces, that's a problem. If you're sorting them to play the game right now, that's mutter. But sorting for after you finished, or after I want to sort some things, you know, all the different types of deli on a plate, putting everything back in their own package in the fridge, that's a problem. And therefore, one has to do it in the proper way. Sorting is a problem. I have to unmix the mixture, as we'll talk about soon, Baruch Hashem. But that is all ochel mitoch psoles and different rules. Finally, the third condition is la'alter, miyad. So, what does miyad mean? The second before I want to use it? Right, so how tight does it have to be? If you look in the skip down a couple of sources, right? The Shmir Shabbos writes in source 23. What if you have to prepare something and it just takes time to prepare it? Let's say it takes an hour to prepare for your meal. So what's called miyad? So we paskin that all the time that you need before a meal, to prepare for the meal, that is enough to call miyad. The Ramaz Lashon, we had it earlier, is for la'osa suda, la'tsarach oso suda, shemesiv ba miyad. That's the Ramaz Lashon. For that suda, and Ramosha says, so it depends on the circumstance. It depends how long you need. Meaning, you're not allowed, one is not allowed to do all the borer and then go to shul in the morning or take a walk. But if I need an hour to prepare for the meal, then I can start an hour before and it would not be a problem. Right? If you're preparing for the meal and then you have to get your son dressed in the middle, that's not a hefsek either. Going to shul would be a hefsek. Right? So one has to be, no, exactly before. Rav Shlomo Zalman that I started to mention before in source 23 says, did mistaver shem limtom hatov shel hatav shel, if the item is going to taste better, if you soak it earlier and you do bora earlier, that's also okay. That's also called miyad. Right now, you need to prepare it. Or the other poskim say the here in the Egle Tau, he talks about in source 24, the Sachet Shaver, even if you have a 10-course meal, you can prepare dessert before the meal. It's okay, that's also called miyad. As long as it's for that meal in front of you, it is okay. Rabbi he quotes also, who is this in the Rabbi Eider quotes that even if you know guests won't eat it, you're just putting it out because you want to have a lot of food on the table because that's covered for the guests, that also is okay. That is considered a need for right now. But either way, so there's flexibility in terms of miyad, but it should be for a purpose right now. Friday night for Shabbos morning is not miyad. In the morning of Shabbos, before I go to shul, for after shul, that is not miyad. But anything for right now is a miyad situation, and therefore it would be okay. You know what? Let's stop here. We'll continue with the last section. What we do so far, we did two out of four sections. Number one, we did the rules and regulations of Boer, the seven conditions. And number two, we discussed how to do Boer in the Mutter way, Ochel Mitop Soles, Yad and La'alter. What we have left to do is avoiding Melechas Boer, and then we'll talk about the Lamaisa application. So we'll stop here, and Hashem will continue with this next week.